Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Shine Like Stars in the Darkness.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about how to be bright in a dark world. How to shine as Christians in the midst of a world that is in rebellion against God. To be bright, to stay bright in your spirit, to stay bright in your mind, to stay bright in your eyes, stay bright in your disposition, your attitude, your heart, your faith, your hope, your love, your joy in the midst of a world that's dark. I want to ask today, how bright are you? How you doing? Today, let's take a look at how to be bright in the midst of a dark world, that you would shine as Christians like lights in the world, like stars, as Paul tells us in Philippians Chapter 2, that you shine not only brightly, but ever brighter and brighter still each day as we wait the return of Christ and our own homecoming above. So what can we say of that? Well, the first thing let's ask is this. Is the world really dark? Well, in one way, physically it's light, right? You guys are very sharp. Physically, we have light outside right now, and we have dark at night. So physically, it's part light and part dark. And we have light things that God's given to us in our lives that we can rejoice in, like the light of a husband or a wife or a children or a house or a home or just our bodies. And the good things that God's given to us, we can certainly rejoice in those. But spiritually, the world, according to God and His eyes, is dark. Would you say amen? That's what you said before. Jumping ahead of you, so you have to follow this, you see. And so, let's read that in the scriptures in Isaiah 60, where we read, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." Thick darkness and night covering the earth. What is that? That means rebellion against God, because the world that we're living in right now is in rebellion against God. God is light, but they don't want His light. They want darkness, because they're following the prince of darkness, whose dominion is darkness. And we read in Proverbs 4, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. Therefore, Jesus said, remember when He was being betrayed and He's going to the cross to save us? Well, He said at that hour to the Jews, He said, "While I was with you, day after day in the temple, you didn't lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." So there is a great fight and a battle in the heavenly places between light and darkness, between Christ and Satan going on. And so the world we're living in is still living, that is the unbelievers, in rebellion against God in thick darkness. And the world really seems to be even darker still in our days as we approach the return of Christ in a lot of ways, because the craziness that we're seeing coming out, the corruptions, the perversions, the absolute insane evils that we see, at least by some, well, that makes it look the world even darker, which portends or points us forward to getting close to Christ's return. So the world for unbelievers, it is a dark world indeed. Let me ask you next, though, what about us? Are we in the dark, too? Are we unable to see the way we're going, following after evil, going after shadows, groping in corners? No. For us, God has made us light, sons of light, through the one and only Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say when He came? He said, "I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness, but may have the light of life." And He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, as we read in John chapter 1. Not only did the darkness not overcome the light, Jesus Christ, but the light, Jesus Christ, overcame the darkness for us to set us free. Indeed, darkness shall cover the earth, we read in Isaiah, and thick darkness the peoples. But you know what the next line is? But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Are you light, Greg? Are you light, Alice? Are you light, Art? Are you light, Corrine, in the Lord? Well, you know that he went to the cross where the bond that stood against us, the law, was nailed there to the cross with all of our trespasses. He died for our sins. And we read there in Colossians, he disarmed the principalities and the powers, in other words, of darkness, and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. He, Jesus Christ, the light, has conquered the darkness for you. Now, how do you then become a son of light and become light? Well, Jesus says to the Jews in John 12, the light's with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness doesn't know where he goes. While you have the light, watch this, he says, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. So Vivian, how do we become sons of light? Believing on him through faith in the Savior. When you see him in his light, you then become light, namely saved. And we read in Colossians that God the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And so, who are you now in the Lord? Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are now the light of the world, a city set on a hill that can't be hid. And what is our mission? Paul tells us, as lights, you are to shine. Here's our verse from the cover of the bulletin, Philippians 2 says, Paul says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So you're lights in the world. That word in the Greek is phoster. Listen to the first part. Phos, from which we get words like phosphorescent, glowing, shining light, phos. And then we also get in there phoster, stare is the word. What's that sound like to you? Stare, star. That's a star. The word actually means light or a star in the sky. So you are to shine, therefore, like lights, like stars in the dark night sky. A brilliant person who gives light to those who are about him. Such are you, says the Lord. So we are to illumine the world with what? With Christ, with a saving gospel by word and deed. Jesus says to you, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So give light by your works, by what you do, that people may see it. And by your preaching of Jesus Christ to your friends. As Paul was sent out to open their eyes, was his commission, that they might turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So, we're called to shine as lights and stars in the dark night of this world, brilliantly, the word of Christ, his liberating gospel, and also by our deeds. And, watch this, we got to stay lit and bright ourselves and get brighter and brighter. So, for the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know over what they stumble, says Proverbs 4. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Does that describe your life? Brighter and brighter? Are you shining bright today in these dark times, or not so bright? You know, I've met a lot of Christians that are not, or they're having struggle, let's say, shining brightly in the midst of this world as we see wickedness having increased. Why is it difficult to shine? Well, Paul says we're still contending as Christians, Ephesians chapter 6, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So if you're lights and stars in the world, what's the enemy trying to do? Fallen angels, evil spirits, all the powers of darkness of the devil are trying to envelop the world in deeper and deeper darkness before Christ comes to destroy as many as they can and to put your lights out and to make you dim, to douse them, to make you cease to shine and become dark again. So let me ask you, how are they doing in this battle? Are you shining brighter or not as bright? Well, it is difficult, as I said, because the battle truly is fierce. A lot of Christians I've known in times past, who were much more bright, I kind of see a shadow over them a bit because of what they see going on in the world. For it's kind of easy, you know, to be bright when the country is optimistic and finances are just doing great and good health and youth and abundance and everything's going great. But man, what we've seen in recent days has been troubling. Deceit, villainy everywhere, corruption in high places. Just put three letters together and you're bound to say, I see trouble in River City. What three letters? Well, like these words, these letters, CDC, NIH, FDA, FBI, CIA, CBS, NBC, ABC. You know, just put any three letters together and it's like, hey, darkness. How do I stay bright in a world where I see such corruption like this? But the question today is, and I have for you, is are you going to let that get you down? Are you going to let that dim your light, or are you going to hold fast your hope? Is it going to cast a shadow over you, or are you going to, against and forsaking and over against all those things, shine even the brighter still? Because let me tell you, a great word, amazing from nature is, watch this, the darker the night gets, the brighter the stars shine. Think about that. The more brilliant should you shine and I in the Lord. But how? That's the big question for today. And that's why I actually wanted to preach to you today, because I have a word for you on that from the Word, from the Lord. Now, this is not hard to grasp, but can be hard to do. Simple, but powerful and profound from the Word. And here it is. Ready? If you want to be bright and to shine the brighter in the midst of a dark world that may even get the darker, we must, as sons of light, fix our eyes, our ears, our mind, our heart, and all that we are upon those things that are of the light and not of the dark. For if you look at dark, you become dark. If you look at the light, you become light. Now, does anybody have trouble understanding that? That's as easy as pie, but sometimes very hard for us to put into practice. So what's that mean for us? Let's take a look and see what God says in His Word. How do we do this? Well, first thing God says to you and to me, He says, do not, my children, set your eyes and ears on the evil and the darkness of this world that's about you. It's very tempting for us to do so, but it's not good for you, my people. For let's read that in Psalm 101, verse 3. We read this. I will not set before my eyes anything that is base. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cleave to me. Perverseness of heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. I'll not set before my eyes anything that's base. The word for base in the Hebrew there is Belial. Have you heard that word before? That word means ungodly things. I'll not set anything worthless before my eyes. Anything naughty, wicked, or evil. Don't set that before your eyes, God says. Again, in Isaiah 33, verse 15, part B. The righteous man stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. Does that mean, by the way, that you can't study the evil in the world at all? No, we got to do that to some degree, right? The apostles, the prophets have done that. They've looked into what's the evil going on with the kings or the country, to call out the sin, to call people to repentance, and then to be able to go in the safe way themselves and avoid the evil. We can do that too. We can look into the things that are going on in the world, like this so-called pandemic and the government, the media, medical things going on, the World Economic Forums. A lot of people looking to George Soros and Bill Gates and the vaccine and the boosters and the evils in society and cultures of the world and churches. I've looked into those, and it's important for us all to do so, so we know we're wise. We can call people to repentance. We can repent ourselves, avoid the snares of the evil, and go in the safe way. We got to do that. But, can you all say but with me? But beware, there is a danger in studying it too much. And this is where Christians are falling away today or having trouble. What's the problem with it? If you look into darkness too much, it has a way of getting into you. If you look at the dark, you become dark. It's sort of like if you see those snake charmers, they're trying to hypnotize the snake. You got to wonder, though, are you hypnotizing the snake or is the snake hypnotizing you? Off of a ship out at sea one time, we got to swim in way deep, fathomless water. I mean, deep, deep ocean. And I thought it'd be fun just to test my courage. And I swam one time and I said, I'm just going to dive down straight and look into the mile or whatever of water under me and just see what it looks like. And I started to go down a little bit and all I looked into was blackness. Did that help my swimming on the surface? Not really. It was fearful, scary, and eerie to look into it. And Lord of the Rings, has anybody seen that movie or read those books? There was a sorcerer in there, Saruman the White. He was called the White because in olden days he was supposed to be a good and righteous wizard. Not that there aren't righteous wizards, but in the story he was. And he thought it would be good one day to look into the glowing orb by which he could look into distant things and places. And he thought, let's look into what the evil one is doing over there at Mordor. But you know what happened? As he looked in there to perceive what the enemy was up to, the enemy sensed that and looked back through the orb at him. And the good wizard then became a slave of evil. My point is, a lot of Christians today, we got to look into that a little to be safe, but don't look into it too much. It has a way of looking into you, and all of a sudden, you're like, where has gone my brightness? Why has my once cheerful visage changed strangely now to shadow? And what is the orb that most beckons to us? The phone, right? The phone, that glowing orb. I can look into things, what the evil one's up to, but it looks back at you. Beware looking into it too much, lest it turn you dark, or into that glowing orb in your living room called the television set. Beware the dark. It can get into you if you look into it too much. Psalm 101, again, set not before your eyes anything that is evil, says the scriptures. And Isaiah 33, the righteous man stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. That's point number one. Then God says, along with that, though, instead of looking into the evil overmuch in the world, instead, if you look at light, you become brighter, like the light you behold. And so what are we to look at? The things of light. What light are we to look into? The Word, right? Stars in the sky holding fast the Word of life. Where should your eyes be in these days, these dark days, in the light of the Word? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The unfolding of thy words gives light, says Psalm 119. Think about that. Light pouring into you as you read the scriptures. This is what saved me, actually, when I was at the ELCA seminary back in the early 2000s. I felt surrounded by the enemy forces, hemmed in on every side by the full force of false doctrines, demonic doctrines that were taught there. I was the only person that I knew at the time that was believing the scriptures there. What was the only thing I could do was to read this word and memorize it every morning. And that alone kept my face bright and my spirit bright, even in a great struggle at that seminary. to make it is the glow that makes her face shine. So how much are you in the world through the phone? How much are you into the Word, I ask? You'll be the brighter for being in the Word. Secondly, God says, look to the light of the faces of the saints, the faces of Christians that are about you. So you're in the right place today. You're in church to be where we can see each other and make each other shine the brighter. You know, the devil's strategy against us over these last several years especially, divide and conquer, isolate them, shut down churches, arrest pastors. Glad we're through most of that, right? Hopefully for a while and forever, but nevertheless, to outlaw church gatherings and to cut people off from the faces of the saints. You know how important that is according to Scripture, and how dangerous it is to stay home and not see the real life faces of a Christian. Jacob said to his brother Esau, when he hadn't seen him for a long time, he said, I pray you, if I've found favor in your sight, accept the gift from my hand, for to see your face is like to see the face of God. You know what it is to see each other. Don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ's return drawing near. John says, though I have much to write to you, I'd rather not use paper and ink, but I hope to come and see you and talk with you face to face, that our joy may be complete. And what was the worst thing when Paul was on the beach and he's about to leave the Ephesian church and they not see him again? They sorrowed most of all that they would see his face no more. So what we need as Christians is to see the face of each other like you are today, and we're going to make each other shine the brighter because we're going to catch each other's glow. And that's what I also found at the ELCA seminary. I found it in the second semester, a fellow believer, and we helped each other to shine. And good Christian company makes cheerful faces and makes you bright. God says, look at that. And third, God says, I want you to see the light of all the good things that I'm putting around you. What the devil tries to do to us is he tries to cover our eyes from seeing all the light that's around us, only force darkness at you through the news and addictions of internet and stuff like that. But no, set your eyes on the good that is around you that I'm giving you. House, home, husband, wife, children, etc. How do you do that? The way is through thanksgiving. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When you don't give thanks, when we don't give thanks, then we can't see all those things. But when we give thanks, all of a sudden we can say, oh, that's good, that's good, this is light, and all of a sudden you become brighter and more cheerful because this is God's will for you. Overflow with thanksgiving. It'll open your eyes and you'll shine the brighter. But more especially, God says, look not to the things of light in this world. Look upwards to the light above you in the realms of light and glory. Where are stars found, Les? In the darkness of the sky, of the heavens. We are people of the heavens. We are to look upward and skyward, even above that, to God above. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, says Paul. And again he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Jesus says, in the last days when things get darker and darker and the world is fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world at the roaring of the waves and such things, he says, but it's not going to be so for you, my people. Instead, in that day, raise up your heads. Look up, because your redemption is drawing near. Keep your eyes skyward, heavenward, and what are you going to see if you look up with your faith? Well, you're going to see a shining home awaiting you there, soon to arrive at your homecoming, up to heaven. We are of good courage. We'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Do you see that? You'll be bright and shining for doing so. The city of our God, beautiful in elevation, the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. You're also, when I look up, I see all the saints surrounding me like in great tiers in a great stadium, roaring with thunderous applause, saying, run the race. You're almost to where we are. We see the saints up there. For you have not come to what may be touched. a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and the sound of a trumpet, like the law, but you've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels and festal gathering and an assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. When you look up and see those shining saints, brightness and glory comes into you. I also see, when I look up, God upon his throne, the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I see the Father awaiting and calling me home and loving me. I see a shining spirit who hovered over the face of the waters at the dawn of creation and brought light to the world. I see a shining Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has now shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you want to be bright, look to Jesus Christ. You know, you can't lack in luster long looking at him. Isn't that great? Nice alliteration. Think about Moses. He went up on the mountain and spent time with God. Came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of stone in his hand. And when he did, he came down and he didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. And that was under the law. You are under a superior and better covenant, the liberating, saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you spend time with God and Jesus Christ in that liberating gospel, focusing your eyes, ears, heart, mind, soul, and spirit on the liberating gospel in Jesus Christ, you will most certainly be changed in your complexion from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You're heading to a shining world and kingdom to come. This slight momentary affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Who can stay dull and dim for long looking at our Lord Jesus Christ and all these great promises up above? Set your minds on high, and you're going to be brighter by the day. You're not going to be perfect. We're getting brighter as we go. But these words will be fulfilled in you. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until full day. So, in conclusion then today, remember the amazing thing about stars is the darker the night becomes, the brighter they shine. And God says, this is what it shall be for you and your future, because it's my work in you to make you shine. And soon the king will come, and these words will be fulfilled. There shall be no more anything accursed, but you shall see my face, and your name I shall write upon your foreheads, and I will put away night forever. Darkness shall be no more. You won't even need the lamp of a light or a sun there, for I, the Lord your God, will be your light, and you with me shall reign forever and ever. God keep you and me bright to that day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Shine Like Stars in the Darkness, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul, and God bless you.